Fine, let's get started so we don't have to waste too much of that hour. I find that, by the way, the recordings end up being about 55 minutes. The recordings end up being about 55 minutes, so, again, it should be an hour, you're right. But anyways, okay. Let's just go over. So we were in the sugya of Menakesh Bekilayim, or Menakesh Behamechape Bekilayim. And we talked about last week a number of different points. The main thing I'd like to focus on today is the different understandings of what is Mekayim. Okay, we talked about last week three possible opinions that would determine what Mekayim is. Okay, we on the most extreme, we had Rashi, or Pseudo-Rashi, or Rashi on the Amud, who told us, okay, what is Afa Mekayim? Sheroa Kilayim Zarua, I see Kilayim that was planted, Ve'eno Mevatlo, and I'm not Mevatelet. And we said last time that, again, Bittel doesn't mean declaration of ownerless, and it doesn't mean, but rather it means is Okeret, okay, and we had the Tassarash quote that from Rashi here as well. The end of the shir, as we saw, there's the Aruch, and we're going to see that actually in more detail today from a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. Okay, the second shita that we saw in Tosfos Arash and in Tosfos elsewhere and in the Ritva was a technical objection. Their technical objection was Chas v'shalom to say Lav she'en bo ma'isa lo ken alav. If you're Rashi, if you're the Aruch, and it's just about, I see something and I don't do anything about it, that's not active enough for me to get Malkus over. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that Lav She'en Bo Ma'isa, of course everyone will say it's Aser. Again, the issue is not Aser, the issue is Malkus. So from the fact that Rabbi Akiva says Loke, it means there must be some form of Ma'isa. Now, how do you square the fact that it's a Ma'isa? Very simple, he says. It's a funny table, that one. I don't, do these also rotate? No, only yours. Just hope it doesn't fall down on you. Right, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Anyway, so again, the second opinion was any sort of ma'isa that you do which demonstrates kiyum of kilayim, and kiyum means upkeep, I'm not destroying it. What is an example? Where we said the most classic example is fencing it off. Fencing it off shows I'm well aware of this and I'm not interested in it going anywhere. Okay? Now, they also gave other little examples of little actions that you could do, but ultimately, okay, fencing is the clear case that shows a nafkamina, okay? According to Rashi, fencing is not required, right? Fencing is not required. As soon as I see it, I'm over already then. According to the Balei HaTosfos, okay, I got to make a fence or some other action. And Rabbi Hananel was like the most extreme, right? We had it last time. You can look in your Gemara's Pirush, it's the second wide line of Rabbi Hananel in the standard prints. Perush Mekayim Bekilayim, Shematza Sadas Rokalayim, Ve'avdahu V'tzamcha V'niskayim Hakilayim Bavodaso, Shegorem Lo Hatzmacha V'afrachas Peri. It has to be an action of real upkeep, but not upkeep of allowing it to exist, upkeep of helping it grow. Okay? And that's not, he says, the Machlokas says, are these actions called Kiyum or are these actions called Zriya? Okay, again, the Tanakhama would hold, this is an actual action of Zriya. Zoreya is a much broader category, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds, it's included under Mekayim. Mekayim means to do these type of actions, but Zriya must be literally only putting the seeds in the ground. Okay, that's probably the way we said Rabbeinu Hananel explains, and this is what was going on. Now, the problem is, people were very bothered by Rashi. Rishonim were very bothered by Rashi. How could Rashi say such a thing? Again, isn't it a davar pashut that Lav She'en Bo Ma'isa and Lokin Alav, even according to Rabbi Akiva, that was one. Okay? There are other issues as well with Rashi, and people were very hesitant last week to accept this Rashi. Everyone's trying, maybe you can read Rashi like this, maybe Rashi means that, maybe Rashi means this. So I said, let's go over. The final thing we ended off with was Rabbi Akiva Eger. And Rabbi Akiva Eger, again, brought these opinions in the name of not Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel or Rashi and the Ritva, like they're on our circus. He brought it based on a Tosfos elsewhere. Tosfos was in the beginning of Makos, okay? And this, it's very important to know. Rabbi Akiva Eger brought this from the Tosfos at the beginning of Makos. It's very relevant. Please remember that detail. Again, Rabbi Akiva Eger brought this from the Tosfos in Makos. And let's read the Rabbi Akiva Eger inside so we can get through as much as possible, as quickly as possible, to get back to where we were last time and then to get into today's shir. Kasha li says Rabbi Akiva Eger, Dilma Tanakama Sphere Lev Lav Shein Bomaisa ain't Lokin Lav. Maybe the Tanakama simply holds that Lav She'en Bo Ma'isa, there's no Malkus for the Eino Chayiv V'Mekayim Ba'alma Elam Kein Al Yedei Ma'isa Kigon Nikush V'Chipui. Says maybe the Tanakama holds you need a Ma'isa. Okay, V'Rabbi Akiva Hosif, and Rabbi Akiva adds De'af Mekayim Ba'alma Loke Desfirale Lav She'en Bo Ma'isa Loke. And maybe Rabbi Akiva holds Lav She'en Bo Ma'isa, you do get Malkus. Meaning, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, our Gemara assumes that the Machlokas is Mikayim versus not Mikayim. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, how do you know? Maybe everyone holds Mikayim is an Isser. And the Machlokas is as follows. Tanakama holds, of course Mikayim is an Isser, but you need a Maise of Kiyum, meaning something along the lines of Rabbeinu Hananel's interpretation of Kiyum. Okay? And therefore, if you don't do a Maise of Kiyum, you are Pater. Why? Lav Shein Bo Maise and Lokin Malav. And maybe Rabbi Akiva holds, no! Rabbi Akiva disagrees and holds Af HaMikayim without a Maisa. And you're chayev even then in Malkus. Why? Because Lav Shein Bo Maise, yes, Lokin Malav. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, why do we know, though, they're arguing about Mikayim? Says who? Says who? How do we know? This is Rabbi Akiva Eger's question. And he's told us the following. Ulashita satosvos makos. And again, you got to remember that one word, makos. Ulashita satosvos makos. According to Tosfos and Makos, which I didn't bring you. Digam Rabbi Akiva lo mechayev ela mekayim al yedei maisa nicha. Tosfos and Makos had this idea that a Rabbi Akiva also holds of lav she'ein bo maisa ein lokin alav. And therefore he said, therefore they said, I should say, or whatever Bali HaTosfos said, that you're only mechayim, you're only chayev for mechayim when you do a maisa. Meaning, like the Bali HaTosfos, like the Ritva we said above, Mikayim itself is only with the Maisa. Meaning Rabbi Akiva holds that you have to do a Maisa. If Rabbi Akiva holds you have to do a Maisa, can Tanakama be holding the opposite? No. Tanakama must hold that you must not hold the Mikayim at all and only hold of Zriya. So he says, according to Tosfos, it's fine. Avale perush ha'aruch sham b'Tosfos, but according to the Aruch, which was brought there in Tosfos, which is what we called Rashi above, that chayev gam below asa maisa, that you're going to be chayev even without doing an action, kasha. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, I don't know why this can't be, that how will the Aruch read our Gemara? How is it that the Gemara knows that the Machlokas is about kiyum? According to the Aruch should say as follows, Rabbi Akiva sover kiyum without a maisa, you're chayev, because lav shein b'maisa ain't lokin alav. Masha enkin the Tanakama holds, that also, of course, you're chayev or mekayim, but only mekayim with an action. Okay? This is the kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eger, and it's a very strong kasha. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't need to tell me that. I'll share a brief anecdote that I think I can leave on the recording, which I've probably shared many times before. Rabbi Shurkin used to, he didn't particularly like when students who were big Talmid Chachamim or had the potential to be big Talmid Chachamim who were in the Rav Shir with him spent their time getting Jewish history degrees. He was of the opinion better that they should be learning than getting a Jewish history degree. He didn't feel that that was particularly valuable, even though certain things within Jewish history, even he engaged in terms of certain, again, a lot of Jewish history is Talmud Torah. A lot of it is not. But anyways, he used to come up with Jewish history PhDs that he would suggest people to write. So one of them, he suggested that people write about the death of Rabbi Akiva Eger's Rebbeim from brain damage because his questions were too hard. This was his idea of a funny joke, making fun of Jewish history degrees, but anyways, the point stands. Rabbi Akiva Eger is, you know, leaves off, and he leaves off here with Akasha. Again, there are people who suggest maybe we can answer like this, maybe we can answer like that. I want to point out something. I don't have an answer to Rabbi Akiva Eger's question on Tosfos in Makos, but I do have another Tosfos that I'd like to show you who clearly understood the Aruch slightly differently, and that will help us shed light on Rashi in our Sugya. This is a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. I don't know why or if Rabbi Akiva Eger didn't quote this. He definitely quoted it from Makos, and I looked in Makos, and in Makos this pshat cannot be correct. Okay, in Makos this pshat cannot be correct, meaning the pshat that I'm going to tell you from Tosfos and Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Akiva Eger quoted Makos, and I don't have an answer for Makos unless there's something happened with the Gersos or anything else. But let's take a look at the Gemara and Avodah Zarah to sort of place ourselves a little bit, a very interesting case where our sugya is quoted. There's a bunch of Amoraim that are sitting, Vikami Baila, who I cut it out because I really wanted to get this on one double-sided page, because I feel like we waste paper every week. First of all, I print it on two pages, and I only need a little bit of the second page because we make it big. And second of all, we never end up getting to the second page, so I feel especially bad. So I said, you know what, we're going to try to fit it on one page this week. What we get through is we get through. So anyways, the Gemara had the following Shaila, these Amoraim had the following Shaila. Secharo lishbar b'yayin nesech mahu. If you hired someone to break your barrels of yayin nesech, what's the halacha? Mi amrinan, do we say, kevan derotze bikiyumo aser, meaning, theoretically speaking, if you could have a lightning bolt come down and strike all of your yayin nesach stuff, would your worker that you're hiring be happy? No, he would be very unhappy because then he'd be out of a job. So do we say, since you want them to exist, the poa wants them to exist until he gets the chance to break them, that that's going to be a problem. Odilma, or maybe kolim ute tifla shapir dami. Anything to get rid of more of avodah zara in the world is a good thing always. Okay? Even though there's going to be a little break where you will be okay with its existence in the interim, what's going to be the halacha? Amar Rav Nachman, yishbar v'tavo alav bracha. Break it, it's okay, and you will get a bracha. Lema Sayele says, let's bring a proof. In Odrim, you shouldn't do Oder, which is some sort of hoeing, together with a non-Jew in Kilayim, aval Okrin Imo, but you can uproot with him, kidei lime'ute es hatifla, in order to minimize, again, this type of negative, bad stuff that's existing. And also there, says the Gemara, okay, there's going to be a point in time where you are allowing it to be there briefly so that you can go and chop it afterwards. Okay, that's the understanding of the Gemara. I can't go through the whole Gemara back and forth, but just slowly, says the Gemara, Savruha, Hamani, they said, okay, who is this? Rabbi Akiva, he d'amar, ha-mekayim b'kilayim loke. And the Gemara goes on to explain, okay, that since mekayim is loke, again, you would have thought that it's usher to leave it, kamash malan, because kedei lemeudei esatifla, it's okay in this case to leave it over. Okay? Says Tosfos there. This is the main point that I want to bring out, because it brings Rashi, and Rashi on the sugya is very clear and open, and 100% says the opposite of what Rashi says here. We talked about last week whether it could be that Rashi here also doesn't say that. We presume that according to Tosfos Arash, quoted Rashi here in a different language, probably that Rashi here did say this. But Rashi in Avodah Zarah says very clearly what Tosfos is about to quote. Rekiva Omer Afa Mekayim, what does this mean? Perish Bekuntris. How does this sugya work? She'asa lahem siyag v'gadar bekotzim kidei lekayiman. Okay, says Tosfos in the name of Rashi, what does Mekayim mean? Not what Rashi says here, but rather what we quote in the name of Tosfos, She'asa lahem siyag v'gadar bekotzim kidei lekayiman. You again did some sort of fencing around them. You fenced them off, he says, with thorns. I don't know if he's necessarily saying barbed wire, but thorns, in order that they should exist. And says Tosfos, based on this comment, v'yafek kivein. I do say that, but I said last week.
Is that the same Rashi?
Oh, and Avodah Zarah? I think Avodah Zarah is real Rashi, no?
The Moed Katan versus.
I know, so I'm telling you, this Rashi is not real Rashi. Rashi in our Gemara and Moed Katan is not real Rashi.
He doesn't say that here.
I know, it's a different person.
No, I alluded to that, because I said, but we also had Tosfos Arash quoted, but my point was, last week I mentioned, I said it's probably also the sheet of real Rashi on Moed Katan, because Tosfos Arash quotes a Rashi with a different language, and says Rashi says, and says what he says. Not, again, the exact language.
Not here what we're looking at.
Correct. We had it on the source sheet here. This is the source sheet. Last week, he quoted, right? Pirish Rashi, Shara'am velo akaram. That's how he quoted Rashi. So
why
I said...
Why is this Rashi here and not this other Rashi you're talking about?
Seriously.
How did this pseudo get in here if you have another version of Rashi?
The Rishonim had another version of Rashi. Bomberg didn't have another version of Rashi. We don't care what existed. We care what the printer had, right? And that's why, again, we have Rashi Ksavyad, things that we found that were accessible. Meaning he did his shtadlus to find Rashi.
It's real Rashi and some it's fake Rashi.
Yeah, this is well documented. And sometimes Rashi dies in the middle of a mesachta, as we know. Also, exactly, Rashbam continues. Whoever it is, the Rivan. Yeah, there's Baba Basra, there's other places. Okay, anyways, the bottom line is, says again, Tosfos, okay, V'yafek kivein, good job, Rashi, pat on the back for Rashi, David Perak Beis Demakos, Mochiach, Der Bekiva, Islei Lav, Shein B'maisa, Ein Lokin Alav. And he says, because in the Gemara in Makos, it proves, okay, he says he thinks it's clear from the Gemara in Makos, Der Bekiva holds Lav, Shein B'maisa, Ein Lokin Alav. Therefore, is it possible to say like the Aruch, and not like the Aruch who says that Mekayim means to leave it there to grow, that loke, you get Malkus in that case. Says Tosfos, this is precisely why Rashi and the sheet, my Shita is right. Meaning, he takes Rabbi Akiva Eger's Kasha, really, and he just basically says, this is why Rashi is right against the Aruch. Right? That's what he does. He says, because it can't be that Rabbi Akiva holds Lav She'in Bo Maisa Loke, because we see elsewhere that he doesn't. Okay? Adkan is the first main part. Now is the critical part in Tosfos, a very fascinating, fascinating explanation of the Aruch that now I was able to understand how even the Aruch would answer this question. Okay? Vim Tomar asks Tosfos, Heich salka daitach lehochiach, bila akor have aser, ilav dim limute tifla, lefisha rotze bikiuman kedele histaker, mida aser lakayim hasam. Who owes a ma'isa be'isr? Shows a getter. Aval hacha ein kan ma'isa klal be'isr. Okay, I know I just read a lot there. Let's read it slowly. Vim Tomar. Ask Tosfos. Heich salka daitach. How could you have a havamina lehochiach to prove bilak or haya aser ilav lemeute tifla? How could you prove from this, okay, that it would have been aser if not for this general rule of lemeute tifla that you're allowed to do it? Why? Lefisha rotze bikiyuman, because you want them to exist kidei lehistaker, in order to get paid for it. Right, again, a Jew who's going to work tomorrow and his job is to uproot kilayim, does he want the kilayim to be uprooted tonight? Absolutely not. He wants to make money tomorrow if the kilayim are uprooted. So again, says Tosfos, how could you have a hava mina that this was the case? Okay? Because hasam hu ose maise be'isr she ose hageder. He's saying because over there, meaning how could the Gemara explain it this way? Because over there, he's actually doing a maisa. He's making a geder. Meaning, says Tosfos, according to me, according to Rashi, the whole Gemara doesn't make any sense. The whole Gemara doesn't make any sense. Why? Because how can you bring in Hamani or Bakiva hi damar mekayim bekilayim loke? Says Tosfos, one second. If I hold that you need to do a maisa, how can I compare that in my mind, I want there to be kilayim there tomorrow so I can make money? How is that possibly comparable to a case where I built a fence around Kilayim? Meaning the Aruch, this sugya is beautiful. And again, according to the Aruch, it's literally, I want it to exist. I violated the Avera. But according to me, how does this work, right? Hasam, hu ose maise be'isr, she ose hageder. Aval hacha, ein kan maise klal be'isr. And says Tosfos something that can actually work very interestingly for the Aruch as well. V'yesh lomar. Answers Tosfos to me, kol makom, Machshavto mishavyale maisa. What does that mean? He says his machshava turns it into an action. What does that mean? It turns it into an action. Kevan shehu ose maisa libasof kishu okra. He says, you know what the maisa is? The maisa is the akira that you are going to do. Because you have a machshava now, the action of you uprooting it later almost creates a maisa from your machshava. That's the way Tosfos says it. It's a little bit of a funny svara. Okay? But what Tosfos is effectively saying is that we can kind of call it a maisa, right? Devadayim eino oker eino over. Kevan she'ein oses shum maisa she'ein nikarbo. Aval oker, and here's the key. But when you actually go and get to the point that you are uprooting this, meaning again, we're talking about the worker here. The worker who yesterday thought in his mind, I really hope there's kilayim for me to uproot tomorrow. Go kilayim. Okay? Aval oker mara shirotze b'mashehu. Because when you uproot something, and think of it like this, the way that it took me to understand this was, okay, when do you pick something? When do you pick something? When it's ripe. What does that show? I was waiting until now for it to get to this stage. Says Tosfos, that's the answer here. Once I've already made this thought, I've had this machshava, and I move forward to the stage where I am later uprooting it, I'm showing that wasn't just stam, a machshava of nothing, of leaving it. That was real, real, tangible kiyum. Why? Because only now I'm picking it. This is Tosfos answering according to their shita, in the Gemara here in Avodah Zarah, but I think he could also help explain the Aruch in our sugya, exactly the same way. Meaning, what was our question on the Aruch? Why can't you say that for Rabbi Akiva, Chayev gam belo asa maisa? The answer is because at the end of the day, when you do uproot it eventually, that makes your thought into a maisa. I mean, again, the same mechanism that Tosfos is using to make this Gemara and Avodah Zarah work, the Aruch is using always. So the Aruch is not holding lav she'in bo maisa lokin alav. The Aruch is holding, again, we could perhaps suggest that the Aruch is holding that in a chanami, watching it and not doing anything about it is a maisa as soon as you uproot it a different time. Okay. Now, in this case where you're a worker, there's a heter of lemai tifla. But in all other cases of kilayim, as soon as you do a later action, that's the maisa that the aruch will hold as being mechayev you, and therefore for the aruch, that cannot be the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rebbe Kiva. Because even Rebbe Kiva holds you need a maisa, because lav shein bo maisa ain't lokin a lav. Okay? This, I think, now, Tosfos only say this in their opinion, which to me is a tremendous chiddush, a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. But if Tosfos are willing to say that in that shita, I don't know that you can't necessarily say that in the Aruch as well. Again, obviously you can't say it in both at the same time, because then they'll be saying the same thing. But were you to say that Tosfos requires an actual bona fide maisa, or something along the lines of the Rach, that it needs to be a real action that helps it grow, I think you could say that Rashi and the Aruch hold that your maisa later on proves it to you. But, I understand that might not be satisfactory, so I wanted to bring you another question and another answer.
Recap, the Tosfos starts by saying, okay, Rashi says that it involves building a gutter and Nyafe Piresh, and that makes sense. And then at the end, he's saying, but actually, no.
He's saying actually yes. Meaning, Tosfos is going only with the Shita of Rashi, the whole Tosfos. Tosfos, again, let's summarize Tosfos outside, and then I'll tell you how I am trying to apply it to the Aruch. Tosfos says, Rashi must be right, because we know that Rebbe Kiva holds lav shein b'maisa ain lokin a lav. And therefore, it needs to be that Rebbe Kiva requires some form of maisa. Okay? Ad kan, and he says the Aruch is wrong. Period. End of story. Why? Because the Aruch would have to hold lav shein b'maisa lokin a lav, and that's not true for Rebbe Kiva's opinion. Okay? That's the end of the first part of Tosfos. Then Tosfos asks a local kasha on Avodah Zarah, which is, why would the Gemara have thought to compare someone who simply hopes that Kilayim will be there tomorrow to someone who literally built a fence around Kilayim? That's not a fair comparison. Tosfos answers that no, it's not a case in this Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And again, this is Tosfos on behalf of Rashi, meaning Rashi and Avodah Zarah, a strong Shitas Rashi that we call the Shitas HaTosfos, which you have to have built a fence in order to be chayv for Mekayim according to Rebbe Akiva. Tosfos answers on behalf of that, don't think that the Gemara's case of hoping for tomorrow that there will be Kilayim there is akin to what the Aruch's talking about. It's not true. You know why? Because tomorrow he's going to go and uproot it. And if he uproots it tomorrow, that's the Maisa. It turns his original machshava into something tangible enough that we can penalize him for it, were it not for the fact that it's lemai tifla. Okay, that's what Tosfos says. Now, what I'm suggesting is, perhaps, okay, the same way as we have two different opinions saying the same thing in, let's say, Rabbeinu Hananel's interpretation of Rabbi Akiva is the same as Rashi's interpretation of Tanakama, I'm saying the same thing is true. You could take the same svara, that a later maisa creates an earlier significant action in regards to Malkus, meaning because all Tosfos is really trying to do is find the maisa. Tosfos is saying, where's the maisa? Tosfos is saying the maisa is in your original machshava, and you showed that that was a maisa by uprooting it the next day. Okay, I'm saying you might be able to say, ena chanami, okay, this is one sugya. But let's say I assume not like that. I assume not like Tosfos. And I say Tosfos actually requires a bona fide maisa of you actually physically doing something right now. Maybe that would be a svara for the Aruch. And maybe the Aruch, of course the Aruch doesn't say, and this would be how I would explain the Aruch. Of course the Aruch doesn't mean to say that if you don't do any maisa at all, you're going to be chayev. It's just that later, when you do some sort of maisa, whether it be a maisa of further kiyum or it be a maisa of akira, that shows that your initial thought was significant enough for us to penalize you. Okay? But it's not 100%. I'm happy to keep on explaining it, but I'll leave that for the end because we're about halfway through this year. What I do want to bring up is another point on the same machlokas between the Aruch and Tosfos. Again, what we would call Rashi and Rebbeinu Hananel and Arsokya. But hey. And that is other questions. Okay, other questions. And let's read through Rebbe Liashev. I know we're doing a lot of reading today. Rebbe Liashev has a fascinating ukimta that he puts our case in that is, frankly, quite brilliant. Has many questions on it, but it's a brilliant ukimta. And he asks a better question. And I'll tell you his question right up front, which is as follows. He says, one second. Why bring the case of Menakesh and Mechape Lekilayim Loke? And Rabbi Akiva says, Af HaMekayim. Right? And he says the following thing. He says, why on earth would we come to tell you a chiddush that mechape is something that you're chayev for? Okay, I'll let you read it with him inside, but he says, okay, at the end of the day, he says, in mechape, according to Rabbi Akiva, why are you chayev in mechape? Simple understanding is because you're a mekayim, right? That's how we learned. That's how some Rishonim learn. Others might differentiate, but ultimately, mechape, menakesh, right? What was Rabba's answer in our sugya? Mishum mikayim. Why are you chayev for mechape? Mishum mikayim. Why are you chayev for menakesh? Mishum mikayim. Right? That was our sugya. And here in Moed Katan. Says Rabbi Eliashiv, one second. What do you mean you're chayev for mechape? Mishum mikayim? No, you're not. You're not chayev when you put the dirt on it, according to Rashi, according to the Aruch. You're chayev when you saw it and you weren't mevatel it. What do you mean? How could you possibly read the Braisa to say, HaMechape, HaMenakesh, is loke mishum mekayim? Huh? No! The second you walked by it, before you put the dirt on, you're chayev mishum mekayim. That's not a legitimate read. Okay, that's essentially the question. Now I'll let him read it to you, him say it to you directly. Dalet, Rabbi Yashiv. Amar lei. Mishum mekayim v'chule yoma tamka amar. Nechleku arishonim begeder mekayim. This we've seen probably 18 times by now. Rishonim have a machlokes. Didas ha'aruch. Okay, Tosas avodah zarah, which I quoted to you above. Da mekayim hayu sheroa kilayim esil sadeyu. Umanichan ligdol ve'in okran. If you see them, you let them grow, and you don't uproot them. For Rabbi Akiva, mechayev alav shein b'maisa. And according to this opinion, Rabbi Akiva will say that you're chayev alav shein b'maisa. Vatosfos shem chalku alav usfiru lehu. Tosfos disagree and say no. Da mekayim hayu she'asa k'tzas maisa lehochiach ritzono. Ukigon chasar geder usiag kidei lekayman. So he says like this. V'ni lo mi ba'yeladas aruch tikshe sugyan. He says, number one, according to this aruch, our sugya is going to be very shver. Di'im kol hachiyuv b'mechape u'mishum mekayim. That if the entire obligation of mechape is mishum mekayim, ha-mekayim chayev v'yediya ba'alma v'ein okran. Exactly the question I just asked you. He says, you're going to be chayev for knowing that they exist and not uprooting them. What do you mean you're chayev for mechape? V'imkein ma balash v'yiru digam mechape chayev. Ha-mechape ha-re kvar ose maisa be'etzem ha-kilayim. Mechape is a maisa. V'eich tali mechape b'mekayim. Right? How could he tie one to the next and say that mechape depends on mekayim? As if he needs to teach us that mechape is mekayim, hapshitahu. Dare mekayim kvar below maisa chayev. If the Aruch's right, if Pseudo Rashi is right, what are you coming to tell us? You know why mechape is chayev? Because mekayim. First of all, such obvious statements were never made before. Second of all, on a chronology point, it could be the Aruch and Rashi are saying that you're chayev beforehand. Okay? If you didn't even put on the dirt, you're already chayev beforehand. So what's going on here? And he says, by the way, alafilu shitas ha-tosfos nami tikshe. He says, but you can even ask on tosfos. Dechoma shetzarach l'shitasu hu l'kayim derech maise kol dehu. He's saying, but you could also ask on tosfos, because if all you need to do is just to show some form of kiyum, and even making a getter is enough. You have the same pshita question, meaning obviously you're going to be chayev for mekayim there. And he asks this question, and he gives a fascinating, fascinating teretz. V'nira l'taret, says Rabbi Yashiv. Demishkachas la'gavna, you can find the following case. Demishum mekayim stam lo yehe chayev. He says, I'll tell you, according to both Tosfos and the Aruch, you can find a case where you will not be chayev for mekayim beforehand. What does that mean? Umishum mekayim b'derechipo yehe chayev. But because of your action of chipu, you will be. What is that case? V'hu d'pshita milsa. And he says, obvious. Listen to this case that he sets it up as. D'aroe b'sadeu kilayim b'yom tov. He says, let's say it's yontif today. What happens if it's yontif? She'ein lo efsharus l'akro. Right? You can't do... Can't cut it off on yontif. Can't do kotzer on yontif. V'adai lo yehechai mishum b'kayim. He says, in such a case, the Aruch says, it's yontif. You walk through your field. Oy vavoy, you see kilayim. Is the Aruch going to say you're chayiv in that case? Well, what am I supposed to do? It's yontif. I can't uproot this kilayim right now. It's an isser.
No, it's even though it's you're just destroying.
Yes, even though that's what he's saying.
You don't want.
Still lesser.
Say yontif. You can say Shabbos.
Goes against the Yesod we said earlier that potentially was one way of reading Tosfos. But yes, you can say Yantzev, you can say Shabbos. The point is, okay?
You can't do it.
You can't do it. Dare eno mekayim. He's saying in that case, you wouldn't. No one would say that it's mekayim. Why? The ein lo sharos mitzad din letzol sham. You can't uproot it. Umay mekayim shayich bay. That's not mekayim. V'hu adin begoder geder misaviv sadeu beyantif. Even if you were to in some way again fence it off, I mean, other than the malachos that might be involved in that, which he doesn't mention. He says, at the end of the day, okay, no matter what you do, whether you're the Aruch, whether you're Tosfos on Yantif or on Shabbos, you've got a case whereby we cannot say that the traditional Mekayim is enough. He says, in his opinion, making a fence around it would not be enough to show. Why? He has no ability to actually destroy the kilayim, and therefore, v'lav mekayim hu. Amnam, says Rav Yashiv, v'mechabe b'kilayim b'yom tov. If you are doing an action of covering kilayim on yom tov, afal pisha kol chiyuvo mishum mekayim. What did you do when you were mechabe? What did you do when you were mechapeh? And this is why it's on yontif, by the way, because of a reason you're going to see in a moment. What happens if you do mechapeh or menakesh? Okay? What did you do?
Covered.
You covered them. And what was that an action of? No, it was an action of kiyum. It was an action of kiyum. No, because he's explaining the Tanakama. Now we're talking Rabbi Kiva, right? We're going within the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. What did you do? You did kiyum. Now, okay. Af al pi shekol chiyuv mishum mekayim nira lechayvo tishchum tishdike shehu mechape hare poel peula lehashbiach hakilayim. Not that it's midin zriya, it's midin kiyum, but it's like Rabbi Hananel. You're doing something that shows I want these kilayim to grow. Nimsa diyesh kan kiyum beofen chiyuvo. There is a, I think it's mostly chiyuvi, meaning in like a, there is a positive action that is being done of kiyum. No, but that's why he says it's yantif. Because if you did it on Shabbos, what would happen to you if you had Edom and Asara? You'd be dead. You wouldn't be getting Malkus. But on yantif, that's where all the cases are. Right, where you could do one thing and you get 18 pairs of malkos, like the Gemaras and Makos all have, right? One for this Isser, and one for that Isser, and one for this Isser, and one for that Isser. Why? Because it's Yantif, right? You're only getting malkos. That's the point here. Right. That's why it says Yantif. But now...
Even on Shabbos, if there was no Hatra for a Malacha on Shabbos, just...
Kamle Bidraba Mine, etc. I don't know how we would apply everything. But again, you wouldn't be getting malkos for the Kilayim either, then.
Well, I mean, if he does give him... For the
Kilayim. What do you think? That's a good question. If he gave him just Hasra for the Kilayim but not for the Shabbos, L'chora, you couldn't punish him for Shabbos, because we said, according to most Rishonim, you need to have the Pasuk of the Isser, or at least the name of the Isser. You wouldn't have that, even though you have the action of Zriya. Fascinating. Even though Zriya is one of the 39 Malachos. Interesting. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there would become Lebed Rabbeinu there. Or not? I don't know. Good question.
Is the issue of this being mafkir the field on the table?
No. It's not about the half. Again, that's not what bittel means here. I didn't see anybody say that. I looked back in a couple of places. I didn't see people say that. But the point that he's saying is...
But
that doesn't get him out of the situation of Kilayim?
It may. I looked.
That's the way.
I don't believe. No, I believe that is going to be a chiyuv for him to be oker them again. Not on Yontif. But there's a chiyuv for him to be oker them. If we want, we can have a shir in Rambam Hilchos Kilayim. I did see quite a few Rambams in Hilchos Kilayim when I was looking at the question that people asked me last week about someone else's field in general. And that's the Makoros that I sent you in the email. You're welcome to look those up. I didn't want to spend shir on it in particular because I wanted to get through this and then move on to Shemitah. I figure about 10 hours per Amud is an appropriate amount of time to spend. I say that, by the way, not in jest. I think 10 hours in an Amud means we've gone through every Rashi, every Tosfos properly. Like, 10 hours is not unreasonable to go through so many Rishonim and Achronim and discussions and Yunim and Chidushim. So, regardless, the point is, getting back to Rabbi Yashiv. Mechapeh b'kilayim b'yontif. Okay? You are doing an active Mikayim, meaning, says Rabbi Yashiv, of course the Aruch says that a passive Kilayim, a passive Kiyum is enough to make you Chayiv. But you know what? There are situations in which there is no indication from a passive action, or a lack of action, that you actually are doing a Kiyum, such as Shabbos and Yontif. Okay? In those cases, your passive action of not uprooting it doesn't show anybody anything. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva needs to come forward and say that even Mechape is Mishum Mikayim. Even Menakesh is Mishum Mikayim. I'll tell you one other thing that I think you could say to answer this point, which is that I'll hear what you think, okay? It could be when you do an action of Menakesh and Mechape, what are you essentially saying? I don't care about Shabbos. I don't care about Yontif. Right? Because regardless of whether those are Choresh, like we're saying now, according to Rabbah, or Zoreya, like we're saying according to Rabbi Yosef, when you go and do an act of tending to your field, what are you saying? Shabbos, Shmabbos, I don't care to do these Averos. So what does that show me? It shows me that when I didn't uproot the Kilayim, it's because I wanted the Kilayim there. Right, that would be a second way to answer his question. Meaning, when you're looking at it on Yontif, as soon as you do a Maisa of violating the laws of the land of Shabbos or Yontif, you're showing, yeah, I am Mekayim with my lack of action. You know why? Because if I cared about it so much, I don't care about Shabbos, I'm willing to put stuff on it. Now, I'm not sure it's as good an answer, but it's an answer nevertheless. And the point being is, that this does not answer Rebbe Eger's question. Okay, this does not answer Rebbe Eger's question. However, it does provide a better reason for the machlokas according to the Aruch. Meaning, again, the Aruch and Rashi or Suda Rashi on Mod Katan were something that bothered us a lot. We brought two questions. Question number one was how do they know the machlokas is about Kiyum? Maybe it's about Lav She'en Bo Maisa versus Lav She'esh Bo Maisa. Okay. We answered that question, again, possibly by referring to the Svara, that maybe there is a Maisa in a later action, which proves that your original intention was significant. Option number one. We had question number two, which was Rabbi Yashiv's question of why do we give the examples of Menakesh and Mechapeh if it's all about Mekayim? And the answer is because there are situations where a passive Kiyum does not provide enough.
So, I mean, it seems like, you know, the premise of Rabbi Yashiv is that any period of time that you have not destroyed, you are now over on Mikayim.
According to the Aruch, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, even if it's like, okay, I see it, I'm not interested in the amount of time that it's going to take me to get to it, but I have to catch a bus to pick up my son, and then, you know, come back, and then I'll do it. Well, technically, you were Mekayim in that interim, but just the amount of time itself, it almost seems like the natural understanding of Mekayim is not a momentary thing, but I'm letting this go for the long term. So, in which case, you know, you're not... Someone who lets it go for the long term, Okay, that in order to establish that, that kind of requires a long term, as opposed to Menakesh, you know, you're immediately showing that you're interested because you're doing it right away and you're actively on top of demonstrating this kiyum.
Yeah, so I think Rabbi Eliashiv is speaking exactly to your point. And what he's saying is that the Aruch, slash again, pseudo Rashi here, are not this momentary, whoops, I blinked my eyes and now I'm over on kiyum. Really, it needs to be a significant show of I'm not interested in doing this. How does he indicate that? By showing you the contrast in the case of Yantif, right? By showing you, right? It's like a significant inaction. It's Shiroa and you don't go and do it. Okay, not I got caught up in something. I mean, I'm not sure if this is halacha, what Rabbi Eliashiv would tell you, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to the Aruch. But the way that he makes it sound, right, is he's illustrating the fact that when you see that clearly the reason for your inaction was something else, then you don't violate Mekayim, even according to the Aruch. Right? That's I think, his whole point. Right? Is, well, here I couldn't do this. You know why? It was Yantif. Or here I couldn't do this. You know why? I got a phone call and my wife was giving birth. Or right? I think that's precisely his point. That for the Aruch, it has to be a significant inaction. One that I can attribute solely to the fact that I must want the Kilayim to be there. That's what I think he's trying to get at with Mitzad HaSvara. And that's why I said it makes it a little bit easier to understand the Aruch. Because otherwise, again, like you're saying, I blinked and now I'm over. Also, it gives us the opportunity, and I'm sorry I didn't put this back on the sheet, but the Tosfos HaRash last time quoted a Mishnah. Haroe Yerek Bekerem. If you see, again, a Yerek growing in a vineyard. Va'amar, he says, L'chshe Agia Sham El Katena Mutter. If you say, but when I get there, I'll take it out. It's actually okay, it's mutter. However, lichshe echzor el ketanu, then it depends on hosif masayim or not. So it's possible that the hosif masayim, meaning again, if it added 1/200th in growth, it's possible that's a shear. It's possible that is the shear here for the chiyuv as well. Because Tosfos Rush says that's only according to the chachamim, that Mishnah, right? It's aser, but it's not a chiyuv, right? Perhaps we could say, again, if we're really taking this to the extreme, we could say that even goes according to Rabbi Akiva. And that's the same idea. It's the Aruch versus Tosfos really there. Yes. Okay.
Does this idea fit in anywhere? If you're not busy destroying it, you're being Mekayim. If you're not engaged in destroying it, you're being Mekayim.
Yes, but we have to be sure that's true, right? That's Rabbi Eliashiv's point. Rabbi Eliashiv's point is, let's say I'm not engaged in destroying it because it's Yantif. Then that is not an indication of Kiyum. Right. No. Correct. But don't look at it, that's what I'm saying. Don't look at this Rabbi Eliashiv as coming and saying, just like, I found the technical reality in which it's not going to be Mekayim. He's saying, what is Mekayim? He's trying to explain to you, what is Mekayim? Mekayim is when I am able to tell from your inaction that, and from your not destroying it, like you said, that you want it there. That's what I think he's really trying to get at. Mitzad HaSvara, again, just trying to make it a little bit more palatable. Ultimately, again, I don't know what Pseudo-Rashi and what the Aruch would tell us, but these are two possible suggestions to make it a little bit less bad. Either A Maisa later on makes it significant, or B, it has to be a real significant inaction. Okay? Those are the two approaches I wanted to bring to you. I'm going to run through very quickly just to try to finish things up. And if we go a little bit over time, I guess we'll go a little bit over time. Hopefully not. We've got almost 15 minutes over here. To try to go through this Derech Emunah. Derech Emunah. Everybody knows what Derech Emunah is or never heard of it before? Okay. So Derech Emunah is a perush on Rambam, among many other perushim on Rambam, written by Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zatzal. The yard site is coming up not too far away. I remember I gave a shear. I'm trying to give a shear for the Shloshin. When did he pass away? He passed away on Tinus Esther or something, somewhere around Purim time. But anyways, when there's two Adars, you know, we already start that whole discussion too. Because I remember I gave something on Parsha Shkolin. So either it was because of Shloshin or the yard site, or I don't remember exactly why. Bottom line is, so he wrote a commentary on the Rambam, on areas of the Rambam where there's not really heavy Shulchan Aruch, for example, Zoraim, but also Shkalim was one I was discussing then. And he wrote it in the style of the Mishnah Berurah, exactly in the style. He has three sections. One style is one section is the Derech Emunah, which is the Mishneh Berurah equivalent. It's notes that are inside on the Rambam explaining what the Rambam means. And then he has like Derech Emunah Tziunim, which is the Shar HaTziun equivalent. And then he has over here the Bir Halacha equivalent, which he calls Bir HaHalacha. So this is the equivalent of a Bir Halacha in the Mishneh Berurah, which again, each of them has their own style. The Mishneh Berurah is more to explain Yupshat in the Shulchan Aruch and to add on any important opinions that aren't found there. That's the Mishneh Berurah, so that's what's found in the regular Derech Emunah. In the Bir HaHalacha, he usually goes a little bit more in-depth into the sugya, and sure enough, in this Bir HaHalacha, he does the same thing. This is in Hilchos Kilayim, Perek Aleph. Okay, Oha Menakesh, this is just basically to go through the sugya. So again, we'll see how much we get through. I'm going to jump to the end, if we need to, just to get the final take. This is the part of the shiur that connects back to the actual sugya and our Gemara, and how things are going to work out. I'd say the first part of the shiur was more, again, I said, like, more lumdish, more pilpul. All the people that come to learn Shakla Vitaria will be very disappointed in the first part of the recording, and they'll be very happy with this part of the recording. Okay, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Oha Menakesh. Bereish Mod Katan, source number here, the beginning of Mod Katan, Beis Amud Beis. Pligi Rabba Rav Yosef, Bimenakesh, Umashke Maim Lazraim, Tilarabba Chai Vishum Choresh, Ula Rav Yosef Mishum Zareya, Uparech Mehad Detanya, and we ask a question from this Braisa, Hamenakesh Vamechape Bekilayim Loke. One who, again, does Nikush or Chipui, again, either covering over or weeding, in Kilayim gets Malkus, Bahare Bekilayim Leka Choresh. But in Bekilayim, there's no Isser to be Choresh, Rak Zareya, only to plant. Umishani, the Gemara answers, Mishum Mikayim uke Rabbi Akiva. It's because of Mikayim and like Rabbi Akiva, V'im Kain, and this is what all the Mefarshi Rambam deal with. If so, Rabbeinu, the Rambam, Shepasak Pesamach Halacha Gimel Deloke Rabbi Akiva, who paskins against like Rabbi Akiva, against Rabbi Akiva, paskins like the Tanakama, like the Rabbanan, Kashe, Eich Pasakan Diminakesh Chayev. Says, one second. How could he paskin that you're chayev for Menakesh Bekilayim if he paskins against Rabbi Akiva? And number two, the problem with this, why is that a problem? Just say, well, maybe he paskins like Rav Yosef, right? Maybe he paskins like Rav Yosef. If the Rambam paskins like Rav Yosef, everything's good, right? He doesn't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, he paskins like the Tanakhama, and he paskins like Rav Yosef. Menakesh is an action of Zriya, right? Here's the problem, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Vare Beresh Perek Ches Mishabes. Pasak Rabba, de Menakesh Chayev Mishum Choresh. But the problem is that he paskin like Rabba, that Menakesh is Choresh. Vitirtu Harbe Achronim. And guess if we saw any of these Achronim? Yes, we did. De Me'emes Pasak Rav Yosef. Okay, that we really paskin like Rav Yosef. Shari Vimashke Mayim Pasak Sham Perechas Mishabes Mishum Zoreya. Ay, Vahad de Menakesh Mishum Choresh. So why did he write the Menakesh was Choresh? The answer is Mishum Tekre Trey Gavni Nikush. Okay, yesh, because there are two types of nikush, kiboshu chichu akesef mishnah, valechem mishnah, which we saw both of these in explaining the Rambam on our sugya. Very beautiful, sham, behelchos Shabbos. Vidavka menakesh di lanus, and shechofer bikaron, pasak tu mishum choresh. And again, it's only menakesh of trees. That's what he said was choresh, but not real menakesh of taking out weeds. And then he goes into all things. Kiboshu kasef shirash mishnah, Shabbos kuf gimel, chazanish kalayim. Okay, vikshah akesef mishnah. Okay, everyone jump down to that after the square brackets, about 9 lines down. Viksha Kesef Mishnah, everyone with me? Viksha Kesef Mishnah Sham. And there the Kesef Mishnah asked, Im Kain Lama Hishmid Menakesh Dizraim. So why didn't he say Menakesh of Zraim? Dechai Vishum Zoreya. And what did we answer? Many answers. Vainbach Ronim, Shenid Chaku Bazev, Vikasvu, Duram Zosham Balacha Dalid, Vanoda Behuda Madur Tinyan, Arachim Simulan Aleph, Oda Chronim Tirtsu. And this is the teretz that we saw, Dirabenu Mechalek bin Menakesh Lemashke. Okay, we saw this, and he's going to bring also from the Meiri who says this, that the Rambam does not hold the same thing for Menakesh and Mashke, right? For one, he holds like one, and for one, he holds like the other, right? Delo Kirabba v'Rabbi Yosef, not like just Rabba, not like just Rabbi Yosef. Uve Menakesh pasak Kirabba, in regards to Menakesh, he pasak like Rabba. Why? Mishum distam Mishnah Gemara de Shabbos Mashma Kain de Bichlal Choreshu, and we brought this Mishnah in Shabbos that implied that Uve Mashke pasak Rav Yosef, and when it came to Mashke, he followed Rav Yosef. Why? Mishum di Rishalmi Perachas de Shabbos Alacha Beis Chashiv La Bein Tolda Soreya. And we brought this, Vikach Chasiv Meiri, Mod Katan Beis on Beis, which we brought. Okay, and we gave also our additional answer. Again, the Rambam was learning our Gemara as that it has to be you're doing one action to do both, and that's why there was a machlokas here. But in real life, he paskins that each one is different. That was one answer. The second answer that we gave is that he's essentially paskining like the kasha of Abaye from the case of Rav Kahana, right? That was the other thing that he get, and he's about to get to that. V'hadip kilayim chayiv shum zoreya, and says the Meiri a very fascinating point, which we didn't see, but is very important. Why is it that for kilayim then, you're chayiv mishum zoreya? Meaning, if you're the Rambam, so, fine. What is Menakesh according to him? How does he paskin by Menakesh? What did we just say? The last line. According to this view that the Rambam is mechalek between Menakesh and Mashke, what does he paskin about Menakesh? Kiraba, who holds that it's Choresh. So says Reb Chaim, so what did you gain then? 1 second. Then still how can you paskin that Kilayim are going to be Chayav if you don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva? You still have the same question, meaning this didn't answer the original question. If he paskins entirely like Rav Yosef and answers the question, why? Because really, Menakesh is Zoreya. And therefore, it's okay if he paskins against Rabbi Akiva, because Menakesh is an action of Lo Sizra Kar Mechakilayim. But if we gave this other answer, which we did give, and many Achronim give, that in fact he's paskining like neither one slash both, so how does that answer the question? Now, you're going to say he's paskin like Rabban in regards to Menakesh, yet the Rambam says that Menakesh is chayiv mishum kilayim, but doesn't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. How can you square that? Answers the Derech Emunah, something that again also we referenced, but again we didn't see it inside. Listen to what he says. Kasev v'meiri sham, the Meiri explains, that dafka b'shabesh yesh beiz melachos, tzarech la'achria lehei dam yatfei. Says, because what was their machlokas? Which one it's more similar to? Ava bekilayim deleka ela zoreya. But when it comes to bekilayim, where the only thing you're over on is zoreya, shapir mechayivin elam yishum zoreya, even according to Rabbah. Okay, and again, we saw these ideas throughout the sugya. This takes us all the way back. That's what I said. For the people that aren't for the Shaka Vataria, this takes us all the way back to the top. The very first thing we said is, what are they arguing about? And one of the options was, which one is it more similar to? Okay, is it? But again, Ena Hanami says the Meiri, that Rav Chaim Kanievsky quotes here, that of course Rabbah will agree that it is Zoreya when there's no option for Choresh. And of course Rabbi Yosef would agree that it's Choresh when there's no option for Zoreya. It's just a question of which one more, if we have to choose between them. And again, who says we don't choose between them? Abaye. That's why if you weren't for either one, you're going to be Chayev, according to him. Okay, let's continue. Vikasha. Says the Gemara, 1 second. If this is in fact true, says Rav Chaim, if this is in fact true, im kein my parach b'mod katan l'rabba mikilayim. Says Rav Chaim, but then our sugya, how could you ask a question on Rabba from the case of kilayim? Lema de b'kilayim deleka choresh chayiv mishum zoreya kanal. Why don't you give that same answer then? Rabba should say, what are you talking about? Of course I believe that it's zoreya. Why do you have to twist yourself into a pretzel? It's mishum rabbi mikayim, rabbi kiva, what? The Yesh Lomar, and he says, the Sugyas HaGemara, and this is, again, it's very obvious what he's saying, but it organized our Sugya beautifully. What did we just say? Who's the one who says that you can do either or? Abaye. Meaning, who's the Rambam Paskening like? Abaye. But this machlokas here is not between Abaye and them. This is a kasha that was asked independently on them. Okay? And says Reb Chaim, let's read. The Yesh Lomar, the Sugyas HaGemara Sham, that the sugya of the Gemara there, lifnei kushyas Abaye, mizomer, before the question of Abaye from Zomer, v'salka daitach, and we assume, demanda amar choresh hu davka choresh, velo zoreya, umanda amar zoreya davka zoreya. This is a question, he says, between Rav Yosef and Rabbah. This is not post-Abaye, this is pre-Abaye. Even though it's brought in the Gemara after Abaye, we said Abaye is the conclusion. Abaye, where the Gemara says, kasha, right? But after Abaye asked this question, and Abaye holds that both are equally relevant, and he leaves off with the question, even though they weren't completely slugged up, skip all that stuff because I read it to you, I translated it to you, even though Akasha is not a complete upschlug, and they'll say that yes, there is a difference between them. Nevertheless, and the Rambam is going according to the conclusion of Abaye. And that's how he concludes over here. You can read the rest of it. We got in about another minute, so we're not going to read the rest of it, okay? He has a number of important points. I just want to jump down to the second to last line. But the bottom line is, what he has done is he's created an entire pathway through the sugya. And I think it's important for people to go back on their own and think of each of the different mahalchim, how they tie together to all the sugyas, but he did this beautifully for us over here. And what is he doing? He's expressing the Shitas HaRambam, and he says, originally Rabban and Rav Yosef are arguing that it's this and not this. It's either one or the other. Abaye is all the way at the end. First, Rav Yosef comes and asks a question on Rabba from Kilayim. Rabba's got to answer that question. Only later does Abaye come in and say, no, you guys are both crazy. Obviously, it's both. And it's just a matter of which one you think it's more similar to. That shouldn't affect Shabbos. And ultimately, that will not affect Kilayim. Okay, that is his take on the Rambam, and you can read the Shach Avataria Mamash Beautiful like this. I think a second way to read the Shach Avataria is the second Mahalach of the Rabbeinu Hananel that I told you. The Rabbeinu Hananel is a very unique way, again, of reading it. Everything is lumped together, and that's why there's a point to it. And again, it could be that you have to warn for both, according to Abaye, which would be a fascinating outcome. Let's jump down to the second last line, because again, this is the way, an appropriate way to finish. Uladina. At the end of the day, Alach Lamaisa ain nafka mina b'kol zeh. There is no practical difference. Da b'Shabbes kaim alon karov haposkim shepasku ka Abaye. He says that we follow. They follow Abaye. Most poskim follow Abaye. Therefore, since we paskim like them, techayev gam mishum choresh v'gam mishum zorei, or chayev for both. Therefore, k'moshu kasavnu sharat, k'moshu katzav sharat zion, siman shin lamed vav, sifkatin ches v'im kain b'kilayim vaday chayev. You're going to be chayev by kilayim because of Zoreya. So Ad Kan, I think we're going to pause, or stop, I should say, the sugya here, Hajr and Alach on the sugya, and we'll move on to the next question, which really is still a continuation of the Machlokas between Rabban and Rav Yosef, but is framed in a little bit of a different way, and that's going to be about Shemitah. It's a tremendous sugya. This sugya is, anybody who learns Shvias, it's everyone's favorite sugya. It's right at the beginning of every book on Shvias, is this sugya right here coming up in the Gemara. So Emir Sashem will start with that next week. Have a wonderful night, a wonderful Shabbos, and everything else. Right.